Much, you guys. Guy, you make me blush. Even have makeup on, you can see I'm blushing. You know, today I want this teaching to really encourage you to take this information and live it. You know, we come to fellowships because we want to learn about God's Word, right? And that's it. We come and we receive and yay, wrong. We come to receive, to retain God's Word with an accurate knowledge, and then to do what? Live it. Release it. First and foremost, we need to release it where? My own life. My own life. Your own life. And today we're going to talk about something that each and every one of us has to do, besides breathe, in order to exist. And that's to think. And we're going to go to God's Word today, and we're going to see some scriptures and some thoughts of God's heart about our thoughts, the importance of them, and how we as Christians have a responsibility to live the Word of God in unity and in love and in peace with one another and with those around us. Thoughts are very important. And you might ask yourself, what difference does it make what I think? Well, we're going to find out today. Do you know what happens before someone can take an action? You have to think about it. I mean, you know, try going to sleep without thinking about going to bed. You know, without being tired. Gee, I'm tired. That's a thought. We all have thoughts in our minds. It's continual. And it is the ground where the enemy, the adversary, tries to manipulate us and control us and get us to just walk that much off of God's Word. And if he can get us that much off of God's Word today, then tomorrow we'll get a little bit further off and a little bit further off. And all of this starts with what? A thought. A thought. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. You don't have to go there, but you know what it says? It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? And that word heart is the innermost part of our mind. It's not this thing that beats the blood through our body. You know, there are different usages in God's Word of our English words. And that word for heart is the innermost part of your mind. It's where you make your decisions, where you comprehend mentally and you process information that you get in through your mind. And how do we get information in through our mind? We read. We watch TV. We look around us. Our senses are always drawing things in, right? So it's very important what we allow to lodge in there and what we process as truth, and what truth we process, we will take action on. Because your actions are a direct result. My actions are a direct result of what I'm thinking and what I'm processing as to be the truth. So where do we want to go to find the truth? Look in Isaiah 55. Want to go to the Word. We're going to start in verse 6 when you get there. And I'm starting in the Old Testament because the Old Testament is part of God's Word, and it's there for what? Our learning. And in learning, we can process. We can think about things. We can ponder upon them. So I'm going to start there, but we're going to move into the church epistles, which is written directly to us before the day's over. God, that makes it sound like I'm going to be here all day, huh? Before this teaching is over. Okay, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return into who? And he will have mercy. God, the Lord, will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts, God's thoughts, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my way, saith Vicky? No, saith the Lord. Okay, here's a big clue. Big red flag should be going off. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. God's ways are not my ways. Who needs to change? Me or God? See, I think we need to change. We need to control what goes on up here in our mind, and we need to line our mind up with God's mind. Look at Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to use Joshua's walk with God as an example to start off with here. And we know Joshua is in a pretty, you know, tight spot in this situation. Moses, God's servant who had led God's people, who Joshua had looked up to, had what? Died. And now Joshua had the care of God's people. So when you have the care of God's people, you have a responsibility before God to listen. And I want you to start in verse 8. It says, chapter 1, verse 8. We there? Okay. Hey, do we need tabs in our Bibles? Just kidding. I'm waiting. Chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is what God's telling Joshua. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now God's telling him, you need to meditate in my laws. The word for laws is teaching, instructions. And you need to meditate. Meditate means to speak the word to yourself. Really? I mean, I always thought meditate was, you know, No. Meditate is to speak God's word to yourself. You ponder the word and then you speak it to yourself. That's what the word meditate means. And it says that you're to meditate therein once a week. At fellowship? No, day and night. That thou mayest observe, that you may know, to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when? What does it then refer to? Us meditating in the word. Joshua meditating in the word. In the law at that time. Now, you know, that's a lot. There was a lot of law back then, right? But the instruction from God is to meditate, to speak the law to yourself. Then, after you've done that, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Whoa. What was the commandment? What was one of the things God's telling Joshua? Verse 9, be strong and of a good courage because I'm with you. And see, that's one of the things I really want to bring home today is to control your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings that flow contrary to God's word, to line them up with God's word, is not something you're in alone. God is with you. God will reveal himself to you when you meditate upon his word. God will teach you. God will give you wisdom and understanding. We're not in this by ourselves. Look at Psalms chapter 1. That's kind of in the middle of the Bible. And as we read today, one thing I want you to remember is what I'm reading to you are God's thoughts to us, okay? This is God's word written down for our learning and our direction. To me, that makes it so much greater. It just, you know, I look at the words in the word and I think, God, Vicki, these are God's words. These are the things God wants us to do. Blessed is the man, verse 1, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the counsel of the scornful. But his, verse 1, chapter 1. Okay, we'll start over. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of the sinner, nor I'm sorry, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And again, the word law is teachings or instructions of God, and meditate is to ponder the word and speak it to yourself. So in both of these verses that we've looked at, God is really encouraging his people to think, to ponder on his word, and to speak it to themselves. He's really encouraging us to go to where we need to go to get the right information, to make the right decisions. You know, God gives us this beautiful word, and most of us in this room know more of God's word than we'll ever use in our lifetime already. So my encouragement today is, let's start using God's word to walk a more victorious walk, to walk with more grace, to walk with more peace, to walk with more joy, to walk with more understanding. See, we want to apply the word of God in our lives. Otherwise, it's just puffed up head knowledge, you know? And you know, we can go sit in the institutions of learning and just keep going to school, be, what is it called, an eternal student? And learn all this stuff, you know, and do nothing with it. But that's not our quest, is it? Our quest is to walk with God. Look at Psalms 119. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their what? That's the innermost part of your mind. Now, we have a responsibility, right? There's a real key word in here. Seek. Seek him. We have to seek God's counsel. You know why? Because God gave us a free will. He didn't make us robots. He didn't make it so that we have to do everything he tells us. He wants us to do it out of love for him. So he gave us a free will. So you know what? God has a responsibility, and he certainly, in my book, has not wavered in fulfilling his responsibility. But I have one. You have one. And the word gives us those directions. So today, I should ponder the fact, I'm supposed to seek him with my whole heart. Now, you know what? I'm sure everybody has something in this room that they can think about. I mean, everyone in this room has something that they can think about in their mind that is so important to them that they have sought it with their whole heart. Think about it. It's really cool. I look at you guys. I think little thoughts going through their brains. Did it take some effort on your part? Mm-hmm. Did it take commitment? Jeannie did a great article, and if you haven't read it this week, you should read it again. Comfortable or committed, it's up to you. Because it is up to us. So take that energy that you just thought about something that was really important to you, that you worked really hard for, and put it below God, so that God is first. And then use that same energy, that same thought process, that same determination of heart, that same commitment to seek him daily. Okay, look at Proverbs chapter 4. There's a lot of great verses. We're not going to go to all of them because I can't teach all day because they won't let me. No, I'm just kidding. We're just going to go to a few. Then we're going to look at some things in the New Testament, in the church epistles. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Are we there? My son, are we God's sons? Yep. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of where? The innermost part of your mind. For they are life. Whoa, God's words are life. Unto those that find them, and health to their flesh. You know, got a headache? Stomach upset? a little flu-y, don't feel good, get the Bible out. It says right here in God's Word that it's health. His words are health. So read the Word. Just read the Word and let the Word comfort you. Let the Word begin to heal you. If we don't do these things of God, we are certainly not going to see the benefits of God in our life. Oh, it doesn't work. I've tried it. Well, you will not have a very positive life with negative confessions. It is very important what we let come out of our mouth. And it's important because it affects your brain and it affects other people around you. And it even affects people that aren't even there that day. Because I say something negative to Todd and he starts pondering. Is he pondering the Word at that point? My words, but not God's. Then he leaves and he goes home and he says something to Shelley. And Shelley's like, Then she ponders the negative statement. Then she goes to work the next day and says something to the lady she works, who goes home and says something to her husband. Do we see the cue ball effect? Very important what comes out of your mouth. I'm going to tell you what precedes what comes out of your mouth. If you don't know, the thoughts in your mind. That's what comes out of your mouth. Where your head is where your mouth is going to be. And you're either going to speak words of life. You know, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, the words I speak are spirit and they are life. That's the words we want to speak. That's the thoughts we want to hold in our minds. It's really, God just makes it so easy, doesn't he? It says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You keep your heart with all diligence. Keep is to guard. Guard your heart. This isn't, you know, oh, well. No. This isn't, oh, well. Maybe I'll think about what I'm thinking about when I'm ready to think about it. No, you think about what you're thinking about all the time because that's what guards your heart. Because those thoughts go into the innermost part of your mind and that's what you end up being. That's what I end up being. And we want those thoughts to be thoughts of God and, you know, pure thoughts, like it tells us in the church epistles. Lovely thoughts. We want to speak the word of God. We want to speak spirit and life to people. So we need to speak the word to ourselves first and to one another. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Now, here we go. I'm going to do some Greek. It's not that hard, though. There are three different Greek words for the word mind. One is psuche, which is soul life, which is breath life. Now, I know one thing for sure. If we're not breathing, we're not thinking. I mean, you got to be alive to have a thought. So, and the other one is nous, which is the mental process, the most inner part of your mind where you make decisions. And then phronema, which is thoughts, feelings, and desires. Those are the three parts of our mind that God has set his word up to work in. He didn't set it up to just work in our innermost part. He didn't set it up just to make us breathe. He set it up so it all works together to hold his word. To hold his word. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Hey, Al, you want to read that? Let whose mind be in us? Whose? Whose mind is it? Who are we supposed to think like? And who? Where are we going to find how he thought? Yeah, we're going to go to the Word, to specifically the church epistles, and look at his life. His thoughts. That means his peace, his thoughts about peace, his thoughts about forgiveness, his thoughts about his commitment to God and his word, his thoughts about his righteousness, his thoughts about his obedience, his thoughts about love. There are many reasons that we need to line up our thoughts with God's word. Many, many reasons. But the most important we're going to look at is in Ephesians chapter 6. See, you know, God gives us his word not because he didn't have anything else to do. But because he wanted us to live what kind of a life? Victorious in who? Christ. Now, God did his part, and Christ did his part, and then God got him up from the dead, which was his part. And then Jesus Christ walked around on earth like God asked him to for a certain period of time, which is his part. And now guess who gets to do their part? We do. We get to do our part. And it says that we're to put on the mind of Christ. And we need to do that because in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Why? Here's the reason. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's why. That's why we need to go to the Word and put on the thoughts of Christ. Put on the Word of God. To ponder the Word in our thoughts and to speak it to ourselves. Because we have an enemy. And you know how he steals the Word of God from your life? Do you know how he builds unbelief when it comes to the Scriptures in your life? One thought at a time. You think about it long enough, and you will talk yourself out of going to fellowship, out of reading the Word, out of believing in a situation where you really need to believe. You'll talk yourself out of prayer. You know why? Because that's his goal, to steal the Word from us. And I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know how I know this? Because I've done it. You know, I've done it. As I get older and more seasoned in the Word, it happens less and less. But you know what? None of us are perfect. And we're going to blow it. But we want to grow in our relationship with God every day so that every day it gets harder for the adversary to trip us up. It gets harder for our thoughts to take preeminence over God's thoughts. It gets harder for the adversary to deceive us with our emotions and our feelings. You know? Look at chapter 10, verse 4. Now, we're in a battle. And God's told us in Ephesians it's a spiritual battle, didn't he? Not flesh and blood. Look at 4, verse 4. "For our weapons of warfare are not what? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." It's a very interesting word here, strongholds. It's only used this one time in God's Word. That's huge. Remember biblical research and study principles? When a word's only used once, huge. You really need to stop and ponder this. Strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's a fortified place. It's fortified. What does fortified mean? Built up around. Okay, now what are we talking about? We're talking about our mind. So when it's dealing with a believer's mind or a person's mind, it refers to the spot in their brain where they have a controversial thought. It's a fortified spot. They're determined. Their controversial thought is what is important to them. That's what a stronghold is. And that is what the adversary does with our thoughts. When we allow our thoughts and our minds to linger that are opposed to God's Word. Look in verse 5. "We do not have carnal warfare." That's what it says in 4, right? "But we're mighty through God to pulling down of the strongholds." Those thoughts that are contrary to God's Word, that are controversial to God's Word. "Casting down." Whose responsibility is that? God doesn't say, "Oh, just don't think about it. No big deal." No, he says, "Cast it down." Casting down imaginations and most high things. Come on. What is it? Every high things. Well, the high things that I feel like casting down. No, that's not the direction God gives us. But isn't that how we rationalize in our little brain sometimes? I do. But, you know, just this once. Well, up to me, isn't it? It says, casting down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, Vicki, every thought? Give me a break. I can't do that. Well, no, not if that's how you think. But if you think of this as a challenge, man, you mean God's word says that I can bring every thought I have that is contrary to his word to the obedience of Christ? I can do, God says I can do that? Wow, I need to try that. Then you'll begin to build believing. Remember, believing comes from where? And we're to guard our hearts with God's word because our issues of life come from where? This affects every avenue of your life, people. It affects your relationship with God. It affects your relationship with each other as a household. Man, just think, if we as a household really endeavor to bring every thought, not just when we're together on Sunday, every day, to the obedience of Christ, do you see the unity that this body of Christ would have? That's God's desire, is for us to walk in unity. Well, there's a way to do it, but it's got to be God's way. Not my way, not your way, not the highway, God's way. That's what it takes. And if you confess you can't do it, you will never start. And therefore, you will never do. But you know what? We want to be victorious. We don't want watered down Christian lives, do we? No. Man. We want to be those believers that shine as lights in God's eyes and in the eyes of the world so that we can glorify God. And we really have something of substance to give to somebody else. I mean, I could give them my thoughts, but they're not going to last very long out there in the world with Vicky's thoughts. But man, God's thoughts, whew, they can be victorious. You know, a great man of God taught me a few years ago and taught a lot of you that the key to power is the renewed mind. The key to God's power is the renewed mind walk. We're talking about thoughts, minds. We cannot go home today without looking at Romans chapter 12. So let's go there. You know, this same man of God that taught me that statement also taught me the power the church has if they only knew it. You know what? If we share God's word with people, they're going to know it. If we live God's word with people, they're going to see it, they're going to know it, and they're going to begin to believe they can do it. It's true. Our lives are so huge in this world as God's people. We need to rise up and see who we are because of who Christ is in us. And we need to proclaim that first and foremost in our thoughts to ourselves. Because I'll tell you something. Bottom line, if I don't believe I can do it, I have a hard time believing you're going to do it. That's just human nature. But see, I don't have a hard time believing I can do what God's word says I can do. And the areas where I need to build my believing, I just keep meditating on the word. See, it's not like you get born again in God's spirit, poop, and now you're perfect. You have perfect believing, you have perfect prayer, you have a perfect walk. No, you have to work at it. And your biggest enemy is the adversary. And the biggest, most frequent spot he's going to hit you is right up here in your noggin. That's why the key to God's power is the renewed mind. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is... When you ponder this, it almost makes me cry. Because this is God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, lovingly begging me, imploring me to do his word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living, not dead, living. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. You can do what? Prove? And who do you need to prove it to first and foremost? Me? No. Yourself. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, who does not want to do that in this room? You know, ministering is available later if you have that thought in your mind that you don't want to prove God's perfect and acceptable will in your life. Now, we all want to do that. We all want to glorify God and to please God. And you know, the word says without believing, you cannot please God. And believing starts up here with thoughts and confessions. It is absolutely necessary, and this is so vital to get, it is absolutely necessary for us to line our thinking up with God's word if we are going to walk a victorious Christian walk and glorify our Father. You cannot do that with your thoughts unless your thoughts are lined up with God's word. It will not happen. We need to meditate. Remember what that means? Ponder the word and speak it to ourselves every single day and night. Gee, practical. Wake up in the morning, train your mind. First thought, God. Morning, Father. Man, I can walk in your grace today. I can be loving today and forgiving today because that's what your word says to me. Thanks, God. Did you just meditate on the word if you did that? Did you just ponder the word? Did you just speak it to yourself? Absolutely. That's how simple this is. But when you do it and you build upon it and build upon it, these words are spirit and they are words of what? Life. It's huge. You go to bed at night. God, thanks for this day. I sure had a great day walking in your mercy and grace. And thank you, God, for that little miracle you pulled off so that I could go to the New Year's advance because I really believed that that's where you wanted me. Or thank you for that healing I got today. Or thank you, God, I got to speak your word to someone today. You know, last night I did that because a couple of us went, the Barberas and Barney and I had some time together yesterday, and we just decided to go to Mexico and eat lobster. So we drove down there and we came back. And on the way back, you know how you go through the line, you're sitting there for like 45 minutes, but an hour. It wasn't bad, really, because you're in fellowship with people, with the believers. We're talking, we're hanging. Roll down the window and you get close to where all those little stores are on the drive. We were right next to them. Everybody would come up, you know. Senorita, senorita. No, thank you. Then this one guy walked up to the car and he said, Senorita, what can I get you? And I go, are you a Christian? And he goes, si. Are you a Christian? I go, yes, I am. He goes, then you are my sister in Christ. God bless you. And he shook my hand and walked off. Of all the vendors, You know what? I got chills because I saw God's hugeness. Wow. I was like, oh, well, we're talking about in the garden. Of all the people I could have talked to. It warmed my heart. It helped me to see my life bigger, believe it or not. We need to lead every thought captive to Christ. We need to go to God's word daily. You know, it takes practice. You've got to change some things. I have to change some things. When I was in a leadership training class, I wanted my first thought in the morning to be of God. So I tried. First thought in the morning is, turn the dang alarm off, you know, because you got 14 girls in the same room. You got 14 alarms going off at 14 different times. So you know what I had to do? Train myself. So I had a bottom bunk, and I got a 5x7 card, and I wrote in big, huge letters, God. And then I lifted the mattress of the girl that was above me, and I put it under her mattress facing me. So when I woke up every morning, the first thing I saw was God. And it worked. It worked. Every day it got easier and easier for me to do that. See, practical things we can do. We can share with one another. That builds our believing. That builds our desire. That builds the hope of God's word really working in our lives. So let's do that for one another, you know, and let's lead every thought captive, and let's be those victorious believers that shine as lights of this world. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ for your great love and your great word and your encouragement. And Father, give us the strength and the determination and the commitment to grow stronger and develop with you every day, so that we can walk spiritually in every situation, so that we have something to give to others. You're wonderful, God, and we love you with all our hearts. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.